So I want you to turn with me to Psalm 18 once again. Last time for some time that we'll be looking at Psalm 18. We're looking at verses 1 through 3. I'll let you just sit down tonight because I know it's one of those nights, right? We look around and not a whole lot of us, so we're just going to take it easy tonight. That all right with you? I don't think this is going to be a very long service tonight, but there is a place that I want us to get to this evening. This is the place that I believe that the Lord's been trying to get us to ever since we began this series. And so we begin in Psalm chapter 18. We begin Psalm 18. I said Psalm 18. Come on. Psalm 18 verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And remember, we talked about this last week, my strength, and we also have my strength listed again in verse 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, the one who comes to help me and is the strength of my help. The Lord is my rock. Last Sunday night, we said the Lord is our high place, the rock that is up above that we can go to, and that the Lord allows us to be up above the problems and up above the circumstances and up above the situations. That's where the Lord wants us to go to. The Lord is my fortress. We talked about this last Sunday night too. The aspect of the fortress, it was a mountaintop castle. It was hard to get to, but it was secure. And the whole root word, matsud, talks to us about the security that we have in this place. In some cases, it was called a dungeon. But when it was up on top of a mountain, it was called a fortress. And we talked about Masada and how that Masada takes its name from Matsud, the mountaintop fortress. And we talked a little bit about what had happened there at Masada so many years ago. Then we talked about the Lord, my deliverer, and that word for deliverer. And I think some of you thought I was kidding when I said that it literally meant the Lord who makes me slick. But truthfully, that is the underlying message behind it, that nothing can catch you because you slip right out. And God wants to continually be delivering you, helping you to slip out from whatever it is that the enemy is trying to bring onto you and to bring you down. Then you go on to verse 2. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. And we talked about God, my strength, in whom I will trust last Sunday morning because we were talking about strength. And it was a different type of strength, a different word for strength. It actually referred to the actual rock, as strong as a rock. And you can trust in that kind of strength, in the rock-solid strength of God. And then this morning we talked about the Lord, my buckler. And we talked about the buckler is your personal shield, not your giant shield that you hide behind and it extinguishes every fiery dart of the enemy. It's your personal shield that you hold close, and it protects your heart when you're in close proximity warfare. It's there to protect your heart. So God's saying, I want to be the one who protects your heart. Is there anybody here who's tired of having your heart broken by circumstances, situations, things going on in your life? God says, I want to be your personal shield. I want to protect your heart. I want to be your buckler. And then it says, and the horn of my salvation. That word for horn is another word for strength. We talked about that this morning. And it refers to the horns of a bull, a strong bull. And that bull, you don't want to be anywhere around that bull when it's enraged. And the fact that it's tied into your salvation, it lets you know that God intends to continue His saving work in your life, not just when you bowed your knee, but it continues on. I'm just as much saved right now as I was that first time that I received Christ as my Savior. Not because I'm perfect, but because I keep on coming back to the strength, the horn of my salvation. I keep on coming back to God. I don't rely in myself. I don't rely on myself, Tati. I rely on God, who is my strength and the strength of my salvation. So we talked about the Lord, the horn, and the strength of our salvation. And then we talked about the Lord, our high tower. And that word high tower, it means an impenetrable, unbreakable retreat, a place that you go to that is up above, once again, but it's impenetrable, it's unbreakable. And I told you about how that it was in the story of Rapunzel, since everybody loves the Tangled movie that's out, how that it was in the story of Rapunzel that her wicked mother, if you want to call her her mother, did everything she could to keep Rapunzel stuck up in the high tower. Why? Because she didn't want anybody else to be able to get Rapunzel. You little ones are actually listening tonight, huh? You liked Rapunzel, huh? So this mother didn't want anybody to take away this girl. And so she put her in an impenetrable, unbreakable fortress to keep her there and protect her. And I told you how that the Lord said to Moses, he said, I am a jealous God. I don't want anybody else to take my people. I don't want anybody else or anything else to distract them from me. I'm jealous for my people. And so when we see the Lord as being our high tower, he's the one who puts us in this place that nobody else can get to. And guess what? He doesn't want you getting out of. He's jealous. He's a jealous God. He wants you to be in that high tower. And now we go on to verse 3. And verse 3 is really where we're going to focus tonight. I'm going to break this down for you as we go. Verse 3, the very first part of verse 3. I said, there we go. It says, I will. Who will? I will. The individual that has realized that God is all of these things, whether it's the rock, the fortress, the deliverer, whichever aspect it is, and we've looked at those things in three different services, those different aspects of who God is. When you realize who God is, now there's something that you need to do. There's something that you need to accomplish. There's something that needs to come from you. And so David said, because I realize who God is, here's what I will do. I will. Who will? I will. There's something we need to do. What is it that we need to do? I will call upon the Lord. Now remember, David is writing this passage of Scripture, and he's writing it after the Lord has delivered him from King Saul and delivered him from all of King Saul's forces, all those people that were trying to kill him and destroy him and do away with him. Right? Are we awake? Do we need a caffeine drip going, an IV? All right. I will call upon the Lord. This is what David realized. This is what he learned because he knew who God was. Whenever he started to have problems, he knew, I will. There's something I need to do to get to all of those attributes of God. And what I need to do is, first of all, I need to call upon the Lord. So who is it that we call upon? The Lord. Something goes wrong. Who are we going to call? The Lord. Nobody says Ghostbusters anymore, folks. I'm going to call upon the Lord. You know, we were driving on our way back home yesterday, and we came into those strong cells in the tornado area that was coming into Tennessee. And it was funny because I looked at the map on my phone, and I saw the cell, and I thought, you know, that cell's not that big of a cell. At least not in our section. Now over going into Virginia and northern North Carolina, it looked pretty bad, but there was just a small cell. It looked like it stretched maybe 30 miles at the most, and we were already on the outskirts of it, so I thought, you know, this isn't going to last very long. So we drive out in Knoxville. We're almost to Lake City, Tennessee, and I'm thinking, you know, if this is the worst of it, it's raining pretty hard. I'm thinking, if this is the worst of it, it's not going to be that big of a deal. And so we begin to come out of that cell. And as we begin to come out of that cell, driving on the interstate. Now, Monica's driving. I'm supposed to be resting. But because my sister had sent me a message about the tornado watch that we were driving into, I decided, you know, I was going to keep my eyes open. So we're driving through, and we come out of that cell, and the sun starts shining, and everything looks so pretty, and yet the rain is still coming down. The sun's shining and the rain is pelting us, and we keep on moving on down the road. And as we do, all of a sudden we hear this loud pow on top of the van, followed by another pow on the hood of the van. And the next thing you know, we're getting pelted, not with rain, but with hailstones anywhere from the size of a nickel to the size of a quarter. People are trying to get off the road and stop and park, and we're getting pelted. I've got little dings all over the van now. So as far as who am I going to call upon tomorrow, I'm going to call upon State Farm. All right? But when we're driving through everything and there's no place that we can get off the road and it's hitting us, you know who I was calling on? I'm calling on the Lord. I'm calling on my Lord and Savior Jesus, and I'm saying, God, I need an umbrella right now, the biggest umbrella, the thickest umbrella you can come up with. I'm saying, God, I need you to extend a covering over this van. We're praying. The kids are all still watching Tangled. They've got their headphones on. They hear some of the noises. What's that? It's a hailstorm. You need to pray. They go right back to watching Tangled. The hail's coming, it's hitting the windshield, and I've got to clean all the bugs off the windshield just to make sure there's no damage to the windshield right now. We got pelted, and all along the way, I'm praying, saying, God, you got to extend a covering over us. We begin to come out of the hail, and then the wind begins to blow. And of course, that minivan's still kind of a high-profile vehicle, and so when the wind blows, you're going from lane to lane. Now, I really wished I was driving at that point, because I know my wife's a good driver, but I'd much rather be behind the wheel, because I want to complain about my own driving, not somebody else's driving. So we're going through all this, and we're praying. We're asking God to intervene and to do something right there, right where we are. Well, we made it through. We kept on coming home. But we called out to the Lord because we came into a circumstance where we needed the Lord, who is all of those things that we had read about. We needed the Lord to intervene where we were. And even though we still got some dings in the hood and some dings on the top and maybe a few pits in the windshield, I still say God brought us through. All right? Now we'll see if the insurance agent agrees with us. I will call upon the Lord. Well, then what comes after that? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Now, when we have problems and God brings us through them, do we always praise God for bringing us through? We should, yes. But do we? Sometimes we come through it and then we look back at it and say, well, you look at what I did. I made it through the rain, Barry Manilow used to sing. I know, I just dated myself, didn't I? I made it through the rain. He says, and I found myself respected by the others who got rained on too and made it through. I know Barry Manilow is no longer culturally relevant, but it was just one of those songs that came to mind. We make it through, and look at how good we are, and if it doesn't kill us, it makes us stronger, right? Now, I know that more of you are awake than two people. We look at all these different things and we say, we made it through this, we made it through that. Oh boy, look at how that we did this and how we did that. But at the end of the day, the person who needs to get the credit, the person who needs to get the glory, the person who needs to be worshipped, it's not you and it's not me. At the end of the day, it's not the doctor who did the surgery. It's not the one who prescribed the medicine. They're doing their job. That's great. That's wonderful. Maybe they're the best doctor on the face of the earth, but I know a doctor who's above the face of the earth, who is the great physician, and he's the one who deserves the glory. I will call upon the Lord. I will. Who will? I will. Who are you going to call upon? The Lord. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised. So this is the situation. You got a problem? You call upon God not because he can deliver you, but because you know he's looking for a way to show that he's deserving of praise. So Ian, over here on the front row, really struggling tonight to overcome a blister on the back of his foot. That's why he's moving all over the place right now. Maybe that'll make him be a little bit more still. He's got this little blister on his foot. You know what? God wants to help Ian with that little blister on his foot because he wants to create an opportunity in which Ian is going to praise God. So Ian goes and asks God, Lord, help me with this blister on my foot, not just because he wants the blister to be healed, but because he wants to have another opportunity to praise and to worship God. So what do you think it is that Ian needs to start doing right now other than sitting still? He needs to start praising the Lord. Whatever your problem is, whatever your difficulty is, God wants to show up in the middle of it so that you'll praise Him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. You know what? There have been times that people have done things for me that I didn't feel worthy for. But God's always worthy. He's worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and then what's going to happen? So shall I be saved. Remember, He's the strength or the horn of your salvation, and He's continuing to save you. He's continuing to bring you through. Excuse me, getting a little excited there, right? He's going to do all of that. He's worthy to be praised, and as you are calling upon Him and praising Him and worshiping Him, He saves you out of the middle of your trouble. He saves you out of the middle of your problem, whatever it might be. He saves you. So shall I be saved. Who are you going to be saved from? From mine enemies. Who's your enemy? Satan. Evil. Wickedness. The devil himself. The demons and imps of hell. What about mindsets? Did you ever think about those wonderful things? We said evil. Wickedness. The Apostle Paul said, we're not going to wrestle against flesh and blood. Your enemy isn't going to be flesh and blood. It's going to be principalities. It's going to be powers. It's going to be the spiritual rulers of wickedness in high places. And when he talks about a lot of these terms, he's not just talking about some invisible force from hell, but many times he's talking about mindsets that stem from that invisible force of hell. The greatest strongholds that you're going to fight are not going to be the literal physical the literal spiritual demons, but are going to be the thoughts that you think that have been implanted there by the enemy of your soul. And you've got to be able to come to the Lord and call upon Him, knowing that He's worthy to be praised and knowing that He's going to save you from your enemies. And sometimes your number one enemy is yourself. God, I'm coming to You. I'm calling to You in the midst of my problem, in the midst of my difficulty, in everything that's going wrong. I'm calling out to You because, God, I just want to praise You even in the midst of my problem, even in the midst of everything that's gone bad. I want to praise You because You're worthy. Even if You didn't deliver me, I still know that You're my deliverer, and I praise You as being my deliverer. And as a result of my praising You, God, I know You're going to save me. I know You're going to pull me out. I know that You're going to deliver me. I know that You're going to make me secure. I know You're going to take me to the high ground. I know that You're going to be my strength. And in the process, my enemies are going to disappear one by one. Now, sometimes He may do it more than one by one, but most of the time in my life, it's been one by one. The age of 16, July 4th. It was interesting this past week when I was at this conference, and I got to be one of the speakers in a workshop, and had a really great time. It was a really great experience. And there had been a gentleman who was there. He now pastors in Oklahoma, and he came to this conference, and he had been going to all the different sessions and trying to pick up everything that he could. We had combined two conferences into one. So we were talking about church planting and we were talking about praying. And it's interesting the way that God brought it all together, because if you look historically, the best way to plant churches is for it to be birthed out of a prayer meeting. How many of you know the Church of God began as a prayer meeting? And the Pentecostal outpouring came in the form of a prayer meeting. And so all these things, you know, they come through prayer meetings. It comes through prayer. And so it was really great to have all these different aspects. And this pastor from Oklahoma, he came through and he had tried to take all of these different things. And I knew him, and we had said something at Ray Hughes' funeral. I had gotten to see him there for a few moments. And he just kind of went his way. And different times I would see him and he wouldn't really notice me and what all. And yesterday he had, or day before yesterday, he had seen me and he had kind of waved at me a little bit and then went about his business. And he ended up getting closer, a little bit closer to me. And so I just turned to him. I said, "Are you having fun yet?" He said, "Oh yeah, I'm having a blast." And you could tell by the look on his face, he had been feeling like maybe he shouldn't have been at this conference. He had tried to get as much out of the conference as he could, but I guess it didn't speak to him like it had spoken to me. He hadn't been in my session. He knew I was one of the speakers. But, you know, he had been there at this conference nonetheless. And he began asking me questions about my parents, because he had used to pastor in Arizona. And so I was sharing with him about my parents. He said, "You know what? Your parents were such an inspiration to me. They helped me out in so many ways. They really encouraged me when I was pastoring there." And I said, "Now, Brother Jones," I said, "do you know or do you remember that? Do you remember that I rededicated my life to the Lord at a youth camp in Washington State that you were preaching at?" And he looked at me. He said, "What?" I said, "July 4th, 1986, you gave an altar call. I had told myself I wasn't answering the altar call, but my feet didn't get that part of the message. And they took me down to the altar anyway. And I went down into the altar and I surrendered my life to the Lord, rededicated my life to the Lord. I started preaching just a few months after that." And his entire countenance changed. Everything changed. And he looked at me and he said, "Daryl," he said, "that one statement made my coming to this conference worth it. For that one single statement. Because everything that you have done, I somehow got to be a part of." And it encouraged him. "I was saved from my enemies July 4th, 1986. Oh, now I've had other enemies the Lord's had to save me of since then. But you know what? Before July 4th, 1986, even though I was a preacher's son, even though I lived in a parsonage, when my family wasn't around, I cussed like a sailor. July 4th, 1986, I haven't cussed since. There had been times I tried to stop cussing. I couldn't do it. It just came out. And I was always afraid I was going to be with my parents and it was just going to come out and I was going to be in all kinds of trouble. But July 4th, 1986, when the Lord showed up in my life, He changed the way I talked. There have been other things along the line that the Lord dealt with me about. The Lord has been saving me from mindsets. The Lord has saved me from addictions. The Lord has saved me from all kinds of things. And you know what? He's still saving me today. He's not done with me yet. So when I have these problems, I call upon the Lord. I praise the Lord. Even in the middle of the circumstance, I praise Him just because He's worthy. And He always shows up and saves me from my enemies. Tonight, I don't know what all of your enemies are, but I do know who the devil is. I know that the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I also know that Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." Tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your demons are. But I know who my God is. And I know that if we will call upon Him, He'll show up. If we'll praise Him in the middle of the darkness, He'll show up with the light. If we call upon the Lord, who's worthy to be praised, so shall we be saved from our enemies. Tonight, this is what I want us to do. Every one of us, whether it's in our pew or it's up here at the front, I want us to come to God and I want us to do exactly what this verse says. Who will call out? I will. Who are we going to call out to? The Lord. Why are we going to call out to Him? He's worthy to be praised. And as a result, what is God going to do? He's going to save us from our enemies. Tonight, whether you pray in your seat or whether you want to come up into the altar area and pray, I want to encourage everyone who will to spend some time calling out to the Lord, knowing that He hears you when you pray. Will you find a place and let's pray tonight?
Jesus, most beautiful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings healing and strength. Speak Your name, mountains move, chains are loosed. When I speak Your name, darkness flees, it has no hold on me. Most beautiful name that I know, You're the exalted one, Jesus, and You have the power alone. You lift the lonely one, Jesus. Jesus, the most wonderful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings freedom and hope. And when I speak Your name, mountains move, chains are loosed. And when I speak Your name, darkness flees, it has no hold on me. Jesus, the most beautiful name that I know, You're the exalted one, Jesus. Oh, You have the power alone. You lift the lonely.